Let us bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessings. We ask that you keep us safe during the trying times that we face daily in this thing called life. We ask that you guard us, guide us, and direct us in all things done in your name. All this we ask in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters, welcome to the fourth Sunday in Lent. Our Lord and Savior is making his way to Calvary. He's not there yet, but he's making his way. Let me tell you all a little story that hopefully will transition well into the sermon today. Many years ago, about 45 years ago, I was a child, around 6 years old. I really wanted to go on vacation with my mother and father. It was nothing extravagant. I was basically an only child because all my brothers were 25 years old, older than me, so they were living their life. I wanted to go away to that faraway place. At least it was far to me. It was called Wayne, New Jersey. And we used to go there to a place called Wayne Motor Inn. My father used to take us on like 3-day weekends or just when he needed a break. Because he was part of the silent generation where they physically worked. He worked for the state replacing piping in the street, you know, sewage lines and stuff like that. So, and it was, you know what's so funny is that, I don't know if it's just me or just us in general, but we tend to remember things from our childhood like that, so sharp, so quick. But yet, when we try to remember things like, where's my glasses? Where's my keys? And these are things we just had a couple of minutes earlier. It's the hardest thing to do. Nonetheless, I really wanted to go. I asked my father if we can go, and he said that we couldn't go for one reason or another. I asked him, how much would it cost to go? He said, $22, which is probably equivalent to like $130 now and whatnot, some 40 years later. You know, with inflation and all, that unspoken word. So I told him, I'd pay for it. I got the money in my piggy bank. I actually had a piggy bank. Remember those? It wasn't anything fancy. It wasn't ceramic, anything. It was just a plastic bank, and I think I got it from, you know, from his bank. Because that's when they used to give you things besides lollipops and low interest rates. Anyway, I went. I got my piggy bank. I dumped all my change on the bed. I was feeling bold. I had $22 in there. I know that. And then as I started counting, it started dwindling down. I wasn't getting any close to $22. I was getting close, but I wasn't making leaps and bounds. But I had hope. I had hope. I looked at it, and the grand total, $5.32. And I felt bad. You know, I had just bragged to my father I was going to pay for it. So I went to him. I said, I only got $5 in change here. And then my father looked at it. He said, I think you counted wrong. No, it looks like it's enough right there. No, go pack your bags. We're going. Now, years later, I know that my father made the difference. He put in the difference. He made that little bit into a whole lot. Well, he made it into $22 per night plus tax, where you call it for two nights, but it still was a lot. Now, in today's gospel lesson, we're going to see, or we've heard, about that same type of miracle that occurred, in which Jesus made a little bit into a lot. See, the gospel, like I said, opens up on that continuing journey of Jesus as he makes his way across the lands, spreading his ministry of love and compassion. The gospel tells us that on this particular journey, Jesus had gathered a crowd of followers. The crowd is following because they either saw a miracle of healing that he had performed, or they had heard from somebody else about what he had did. Whatever the reason was, they were following him. It's almost Passover, and the time for the great Passover feast was coming near. See, what's interesting about today's gospel is that in John chapter 6, verse 5, it shows that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is not only there for our spiritual needs, but he's also there for our physical ones. We have a concerned and caring person in the form of Jesus. He asked Philip where they could get bread for the people who were following them so that they could get something to eat, because they were either tired from following, or it was late in the day and they didn't want to send them into the darkness back home without something to eat. But this was a test, because Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He knew they didn't have that food for them. Now, Philip probably looked into the crowd, or looked at the crowd, and did a quick calculation, and he said, buy food. We don't have money for that. Heck, we don't have money for our own food. And then, I really don't know why, Andrew pointed out to Jesus that there was a little boy with five loaves of bread and two fish. And that was nearby. Maybe he knew that through Jesus, all things were possible, including that crowd of 5,000 people. Now, upon researching and discernment for my sermon, I came across some interesting things, and that the 5,000 was the tally of men. You know, not this didn't include women and children who had to be there, you know, because I have kids that give me a good example that they don't want to be there or be here. So that crowd could say that number, better yet, could safely double to 10,000, 12,000. And we probably wouldn't be too far from the real number of people that were there. Anyway, Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down so that he could prepare the food that he would get from that little boy. And just like in our communion service, Jesus took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples. And then the disciples passed it on to the people. It wasn't like the food that he got from the boy was just laying on the ground, and that it magically multiplied, that everybody could see it, the heap getting bigger and bigger. It must have been in some type of container or something to hold, because Jesus was able to reach in or reach to it and get it out and disperse it. The more he reached in, the more came out. So that was just the bread. We're not talking even yet about the fish. I have the belief that just like John the Baptist was the forerunner to Jesus' coming, this feeding of the 5,000 was a forerunner to the Last Supper. Because as you'll hear in the canon of the Mass, or you recall, it says, on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, what did he do? He took the bread. And after he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. Sounds similar. In that little excerpt of the canon, we see that Jesus takes some bread and he equates it to the giving of himself. And we know that according to John chapter 6, verse 35, which says, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He didn't just give the people one serving and just call it a day. He let them come back. He let them eat until they were full, until they had had enough. You see, when we come to God and trust in him and let him be the one to fill our basic needs, we find that all of our needs will be met by him. Our every hunger nourished by his glorious and all-encompassing love. Amen? When they had finished eating, Jesus had his disciples gather up the fragments of not just what they had failed to eat, but what the followers had failed to eat, and what was originally 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fish, it filled 12 baskets. Now, if that's not a blessing, if that's not a miracle, I don't know what is. I really don't. That excerpt, that little piece of scripture shows that God is not wasteful, especially when it comes to the blessings that he gives. Jesus could have ended the miracle when the followers' bellies were full, but the Father, through him, is a God of excess blessings, a God of abundance to those who follow his word and his ways. And although God has an abundance of love and blessings to give to all those who glorify his name through acts of compassion, acts of kindness, and definitely acts of love, His is not a love that is wasteful. God does not only provide for the here and now. He also provides for the future when it comes down the road, when we might need those blessings again, especially during those dry times. Those times when we really need someone to lean on, a shoulder to cry on, and when that love and that compassion are really needed again. I want you to know that God's love and his blessings are going to be there for each and every one of y'all. All you have to do is trust in him. Because if you trust God, you'll always have the blessings that he has for you. If you trust in him and sincerely follow him, you'll always have more than what you need. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2 tells us, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, we're told to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. My brothers and sisters, although we may not understand what the Lord has in place for us, we have to keep on keeping on. No matter what difficulties we face today or tomorrow, what matters is that God is bigger than the difficulties, than the situations that we're facing, and we can always turn to him for that much needed support in our time of need. The only thing that we have to do is what? Trust in him, and all things will be possible. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.